Welcome back. It's a Monday, the third day of June 2019. I'm your host, Mark Call. And while I hate to start off with this kind of a metaphor, folks, it's the only appropriate one today. Disgusting as it might be, information and leaks and other stuff that's been hidden for a long time is literally coming out of the woodwork today, kind of like maggots out of a rotting corpse. Hopefully, in this case, the corpse is that of the corrupt deep state and the fascist public-private partnership that's dominated America for far too long. And while it may or may not be coming to an end, the battle is certainly coming to a fever pitch. And some of that, at least, is good news. Here's just some of what we'll try to get to over the next 25 minutes or so. Trump is finally talking about antitrust when it comes to big socialist media and their all-out no-holds-barred attack on free speech. We may or may not yet be seeing some actual movement to repel the border invasion. Mexico, at least, is openly saying it's a war against the United States, even if they choose to use different words. And the scope and scale of the attempted coup against the Republic here in the United States, and yes, real election rigging, starting well before the 2016 election, just keeps on a-coming. No, it was never Russia, Russia, Russia. It was, in fact, deep state, deep state, deep state, with a little bit of British deep state thrown in. And if all of that just continues to come out, we had a reminder over the weekend, probably still continuing, that there's an internet kill switch that Obama and company put in place to be reckoned with as well, along with the usual and continuing false flags and distractions. So, with so many fronts in this particular war, where do we begin? Let's start with the equivalent of the Normandy invasion. And this interesting headline from Zero Hedge about Gulag, where shares of deep state partner Google have fallen 3% after what the story calls the tech giant's weekend from hell. Between the DOJ and the Trump administration basically declaring war on the Silicon Valley giant, it begins, and the cloud outages that plagued much of the U.S. and Europe Sunday afternoon, Google parent Alphabet had an extremely rough weekend, and as expected, markets are now beginning to price all this in, as Google shares have slumped 3% in pre-market trading on Monday, bringing them down a total of 15% in just 1 month, which it calls one of the rockiest stretches for the company in recent memory. Which brings us, of course, to the background for that rough stretch, because just before midnight on Friday, at the close of what had already been a hectic month for markets, the Wall Street Journal dropped a bombshell of a story, reporting that the DOJ had opened an antitrust investigation of Alphabet Inc., which, quote, could present a major new layer of regulatory scrutiny for the search giant, according to people familiar with the matter. Yes, it says the report was sourced by people familiar with the matter, but was swiftly corroborated by the New York Times, Bloomberg, and others. Because it seems that for months now, the FTC has appeared to be gearing up for a showdown with big tech. The agency, which shares antitrust authority with the DOJ, has created a new commission that could help undo big tech tie-ups like Facebook's acquisition of Instagram, and it's hired lawyers who've advanced new anti-monopoly theories that could help justify the breakup of companies like Amazon. And as it turns out, the Trump administration's first salvo against big socialist tech didn't come from the FTC. Instead, the responsibility has been delegated to the DOJ, which has reportedly been tasked with supervising the investigation into Gulag. Not super surprising, though, since the FTC already had its chance to nail Google with an anti-monopoly probe back in 2013. Well, that was the Obama regime, of course, and they came up short. From what we can tell, says Zero Hedge's summary, it appears the administration will divvy up responsibility for any future antitrust investigations between those two agencies, which means the FTC, already reportedly preparing to levy a massive fine against two Facebook, could end up taking the lead in those cases. Now, here I note an interesting observation that Zero Hedge actually led off with in their summary of a number of articles. Once shielded, they said, by the Silicon Valley churn of innovation, which dictated that no reigning tech empire could rule for too long before going the way of, hey, remember companies like this? Yahoo and AOL? Tech giants like Two Facebook, Amazon, and Gulag have been subjected to, well, they claim anyway, to intensifying antitrust pressure. Even Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, and her Break Up Big Tech billboard is only the latest example. Don't forget, though, much of the knee-jerk left is angry with some of big tech because they allow the deplorables to have any speech at all. But even so, suggests Zero Hedge, big tech trust busting has become one of the few issues in contemporary Washington that garners genuine bipartisan support. The trouble, of course, is Big Brother's deep state partners want to break them up so they can recombine them under the covers and produce one massive, we control everything you say, hey, say it with me, folks, Orwellian Ministry of Truth. In other words, why will we trust Big Brother to regulate its own partners? Therein lies the rub. The trouble, though, is, so far at least, not only have they been subsidized in any number of ways, but shielded from so many of the laws concerning things like the so-called public square that let them play the game of heads I win, tails you lose. So it does seem that the real question here boils down to not the fact that evil is being done, but how to deal with it.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
The Wall Street Journal story, it says, didn't specify which aspects of the gulag business empire might come under the microscope, but a string of multi-billion euro fines recently levied by the EU might at least offer some guidance. The bloc's antitrust authority, which has been far more eager to take on American tech giants than its American counterpart, for reasons, suggests Zero Hedge, that ought to be obvious by now to all, has fined Gulag over its practice of bundling software with its standard Android license. In other words, you can't get a phone, folks, without Gulag having its claws knee-deep into you and everything electronic that touches it. Oh, well, yeah, there's Apple, but how many heads can the same beast have? Not only that, but the way its search engine rankings favor its own product listings and the ways that it's harmed competition in the digital advertising market. So during the height of the controversy over big tech's abuses of sensitive data last year, The Verge published a story speculating about how the monopolistic tendencies of each of the dominant Silicon Valley socialist giants could be remedied. For Gulag, argued The Verge, the best remedy would be a ban on acquisitions, a strategy which has even been bandied about in Congress. About which, said Open Markets' Matthew Stoller, if you're looking for the silver bullet, probably the best thing to do would be to block Google from being able to buy any companies, he said. Suddenly, you have to compete with Google. You can't just be bought out by Google. And while all of that might sound tame, continues the piece, compared to billion-dollar fines in Europe, it cuts to the core of how Gulag is organized, because the company has acquired now more than 200 startups since it was founded, including its central products like YouTube, Android, and DoubleClick. Even more recent buys like Nest have fallen under the broader Alphabet umbrella, but the core strategy hasn't changed. And would, for example, Google still be an AI giant if it hadn't bought out DeepMind? Possibly, or even probably, but it would have had to work a lot harder to get there. And more importantly, adds your host, there might even be some real competition that managed to survive. From there we go to the other, and perhaps related, weekend from hell for big tech story. Did the government just test the internet kill switch, said the headline from Zero Hedge. I do like the way they introduced this. See if you recognize the, more or less quote. I felt a great disturbance in the farce, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced. Well, at 3:10 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, it appears that the Google Cloud, affecting everything from Gmail, YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook, among lots of others, mysteriously and almost unprecedentedly went offline. And the list of companies and services that were down not only reads like the roster of a secret Silicon Valley cartel meetup, but runs to more than half a page, affecting primarily the east and left coast of America, as well as much of Europe. So yeah, there was also no shortage of speculation. Did the government just test fire its internet kill switch? Or, I guess you'd have to ask, given that it's Gulag that's most recently under attack here, did the empire just strike back? And you know what's also funny? There's this from the Hal Turner radio show and link, dated Sunday. Cue the riots, it says. The EBT system is going down nationwide. A major outage, it says, of electronic benefits cards is developing rapidly nationwide, according to Down Detector and the SNAP, or Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, they keep changing the name, is how American welfare recipients suck at the public teat and get food and, indirectly, a whole lot of other things. The outage is happening very fast, it says, and in a number of places, especially New York City, Chicago, and Detroit, although explanations are still short. Well, the rest of the connections in the news aren't nearly so tenuous. Zero Hedge summarizes what might be a tumultuous week ahead with this headline, Key Events This Week, Everything All at Once. Yep, the next 5 days are going to be extremely busy. Trump is in the UK, President Xi is in Russia, the U.S. jobs report comes out on Friday, hey, who cares, they'll lie anyway, and the European Central Bank is coming out with their, well, whatever they call it, on Thursday. And, of course, with markets being buffeted by renewed fears of a global trade war and growing fears, increasingly obvious, of a recession, it's hard not to see that as being anything but front and center this week, says Deutsche Bank's Craig Nicol. But that bank certainly has more than their fair share of problems. Meanwhile, President Trump travels on to Europe after the UK. The vice president's also giving a speech that's likely to be closely watched concerning U.S.-China relations on the 30th anniversary of Tiananmen Square. There's an ECB meeting, Fed research to look forward to, data releases from all kinds of bureaus of you-know-what. And let's not forget that the tariffs between the U.S. and China go into effect tomorrow, so it's hard to look past obvious headlines as being the main driver for the markets, among other things. Oh yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what President Trump has to say to the Prime Minister Theresa May, if that gets reported. And she's due to step down on Friday anyway. In other related news, the usual leftist rags in Britain are already lining up to diss the American president before he even sets foot on the arguably has-been island. Remember that even Monty Python alum John Cleese has been saying for years that London isn't really an English city anymore. And as if to buttress his point, leftist mayor of London Stan Sadiq Khan, of all people, wrote an op-ed for the London Guardian arguing that the UK would be on the, quote, wrong side of history for daring to host Trump, while the Guardian editors themselves said that the demagogue simply isn't welcome in formerly Great Britain. Meanwhile, 10,000 police have been deployed in London, perhaps because it's obvious the leftists are trying to stir up the usual trouble. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it, if they'll let some of them actually have guns. Oh, by the way, what is it that the leftists at The Guardian are really afraid of? Yeah, Trump's there to celebrate the 75th anniversary of D-Day, the historic consequences of which are probably lost on the leftists there. But they do suggest that, quote, his presence and public statements will boost anti-democratic and right-wing populist elements here, unquote. And, ah, there's the rub. They already just got their heads handed to them in an election where basically most of Europe told them what they could do with their socialist EU and, yes, Islamic invasion. Well, since the leftist Guardian leveled both barrels at the incoming president of the United States, I guess it's fair to give the president his due. He tweeted the following, basically en route, Sadiq Khan, who by all accounts has done a terrible job as mayor of London, has been foolishly nasty to the visiting president of the United States, by far the most important ally of the United Kingdom. He, says the president, is a stone-cold loser who should focus on crime in London, not me. And he went on to write that Khan reminds me very much of the dumb and incompetent mayor of New York City. Yes, the communist de Blasio, who's also done a terrible job. But in any event, said the president after a couple more snide comments, I look forward to being a great friend of the United Kingdom, and I'm looking very much forward to my visit. Landing now. After that, though, the president seemed to return his mind to the media war. Wrote Tyler Durden in Zero Hedge, President Trump and his family might be about to meet Queen Elizabeth II for a historic state visit, but despite the occasion, the president's mind appears to be elsewhere, because he's been tweeting at a constant clip since landing in the UK a few hours ago. In one string of tweets, the president lamented the fact that the Clinton News Network, which just announced a string of layoffs at its London office, is, quote, the primary source of news available from the U.S. After watching it for a short while, I turned it off, unquote. Trump, though, did describe the coverage as, quote, all negative and so much fake news, very bad for U.S., big ratings drop. And then he asked, why doesn't the owner, AT&T, do something, before exhorting Americans to boycott AT&T to force that company, which recently bought criminally negligent network owner Time Warner in a deal that was aggressively opposed by the Trump DOJ, to make big changes at the cable news channel. Quote, when the world watches CNN, it gets a false picture of the USA, he said. Sad.
One of the false pictures that the Clinton News Network has been pushing for at least a couple of years now has to do with the now-failed coup that they couldn't quite pull off. But now that the coup is dead, something at least is oozing out massively and may even eventually get covered by the waste stream. At least the alternative press is doing their job. And even sources like Britain's Daily Mail are finally starting to come around. U.S. Representative Devin Nunes, a reporter over the weekend, has called the Mueller report a fraud after learning that parts suggesting obstruction of the probe from President Trump's team were redacted. Well, there's more to it than that. They were evidently selectively redacted to make them appear to be the opposite of what they evidently were. This week, more information from the investigation led by the not-so-sainted Robert Mueller was made public. Basically, what it looks like is that Team Mueller and his band of Clinton-loving, Trump-hating, far-left oath-breakers did some FBI-style selective editing on what they put into genuine print, leaving out some vital details. Like, for example, a November 2017 voicemail left by former Trump lawyer John Dowd for a legal representative for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn in the Russia investigation, in which the report included the fact that Dowd said, if there's information that implicates the president, then we've got a national security issue, so, you know, we need some kind of heads up. But what it didn't say was that the reason he asked for the heads up was so they could deal with anything that could be presented as a problem for Trump or for the United States, especially when it came to national security. And then he went on at some length to talk about precisely what that meant. But Mueller didn't see that being worth reporting in the legal document. Said Devin Nunes over the weekend, this is why we need all backup and source documentation for the Mueller dossier to be released publicly. It's all a fraud. This too came out over the weekend. Kind of makes the point as well, even if it's not that shocking, except perhaps to people who think that the criminally negligent network covers news. Revealed, says a piece from the Gateway Pundit, Representative Collins has identified none other than Peter Strzok as that top deep state official who leaked classified documents to the media, and then the Department of Justice declined to prosecute the scumbag. So it turns out that Strzok not only talked about the insurance policy, folks, he was the insurance agent. From there, back we go to the border invasion, which has also seen lots of development on a number of war fronts. Mexico's President Donald Trump says a piece from Breitbart, America is, no, not for Americans, it's for migrants. Poor people, said the communist president to the South, have a right, no, not to keep and bear arms or to have economic freedom in his country, but to migrate to the United States. And he said migrants should not be stopped by force, or I guess by walls or soldiers or anything else, according to a letter from Mexico's president to U.S. President Donald Trump. The May 30th letter provided by the Wall Street Journal from President López Obrador to the duly elected president here claimed a migrant's right to justice, saying, quote, President Trump, social problems are not resolved by taxes or coercive measures. What a hypocrite. How do you transform the country of fraternity for the world's migrants into a ghetto? Well, wait, this guy ought to know. A closed space where migrants are stigmatized, mistreated, persecuted, expelled, and the right for justice is canceled to those who tirelessly seek to live free of misery. Good grief. If there's a worse hypocrite in the hemisphere, well, wait a second. That's Obama, and he's headed south for the time being, lying to the people of Brazil, as it turns out. And there's so much wrong with that statement, folks, that it almost boggles the mind. Where does this guy get off talking about a right to justice? Since clearly the left believes real Americans don't have it. But when it comes to ghettos, he ought to know. Mexico's certainly got a lot of them. And why is it that people who want to, quote, live free of misery, not only aren't willing to stay in Mexico, they're not even anxious to stay when he allows them to pass through headed north? Over and over again, the letter repeatedly claimed that poor people have a right to move, no, not to his country, of course, but to the United States. And after a bit of hypocrisy like that, there's so much that needs to come out. Like this story from the Washington Times. It says border authorities nabbed a group of 116 illegal immigrants from, no, not Mexico, not Honduras or Guatemala, but Africa this week. Not the first time we've seen groups of Africans come in, but it's the biggest such. It's also the first time they found Africans taking advantage, says the Washington Times, of the large group tactic that Central American migrants have learned to so abuse. And hey, the story doesn't ask this question, but I will. Where did they enter Mexico? Who paid for the tickets? And so forth. How did they get up to the border? Yeah, inquiring minds do want to know. And Obrador and the invasion sponsors might be helping out, but neither they nor the American complicit press is telling us. The Africans were caught Thursday night near the border crossing at Del Rio, Texas, though instead of presenting themselves at the port of entry seeking asylum, they jumped the border, said an official to reporters. Okay, well, two related stories then on that score. Breaking, says a piece from Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit, Ebola concerns now in Texas after illegals from the Congo have crossed the border into the United States. According to sources in Texas, U.S. Border Patrol agents have apprehended illegal aliens crossing into the U.S. from Congo, where there's currently a deadly Ebola outbreak. Yeah, the usual traveler's warnings are repeated here. But Brian Colfage of the We Build the Wall organization has told the Gateway Pundit that they knew about these developments earlier this week relative to their construction project near El Paso, saying, quote, a DHS insider exposed to us that Congo migrants have made it into the USA with confirmed cases of Ebola. Three are in custody in Laredo, Texas, six in Laredo, Mexico, and in Juarez next to our wall. Which brings me to a related story courtesy of Fellowship of the Minds and Dr. Drew Pinsky, TV addiction medicine specialist, who's now predicted, having read evidently about America's largest sanctuary cities and how they're becoming unlivable, has predicted a major infectious disease epidemic this summer. And I would guess, folks, that's hardly a stretch at this point. After news that an L.A. police officer had contracted typhoid fever in disease-ridden sanctuary L.A., a rare and life-threatening illness that fewer than 350 Americans contract each year, most so traveling outside the country, Dr. Drew repeated his prediction, saying he now believes that bubonic plague, you know, the Black Death that killed tens of millions of people in the 14th century, is likely already present in Los Angeles, saying on the Fox News show The Ingraham Angle on May 30th that, quote, we have a complete breakdown of the basic needs of civilization in Los Angeles right now. Three prongs of airborne disease, tuberculosis is exploding, and rodent-borne. We're one of the only cities in the country that doesn't have a rodent control program, and sanitation is broken down. We have a typhus outbreak last summer. We'll have a typhus outbreak again this summer. I'm hearing from experts, he continued, that bubonic plague is likely already here. And finally, we have this fecal group contamination, which is typhoid fever. Three cases, one confirmed, probably three. This, he said, is unbelievable. I can't believe I live in a city where this is not third world. It is, though, medieval. Third world countries, he said, are insulted if they're accused of being like this. No city on earth, well, outside of America with a K, your host interjects, tolerates this. The entire population's at risk, and if, God forbid, measles gets in, I just have an image of myself on my knees in the gutter attending to people. This summer is likely to have a very profound problem. Unquote. The Gateway Pundit also spoke to former Colorado Congressman and well-known conservative Tom Tancredo. He's also a We Build the Wall advisory member. And he described the current project as both a political and technological miracle, noting that the Army Corps of Engineers had said it was too steep to build the wall, but We Build the Wall went ahead and did it anyway in less than a week. He also then went on to talk about Trump's tweet that the cartels are running Mexico, and his response was simply yes, saying Mexico is a narco state. When you have a situation where there are major parts of your country that you cannot control, that are entirely controlled by the cartels, then you cannot claim that you are a country. And he said the corruption does not stop at the border. Towns all along the border are just as dirty. And ultimately, folks, all of this shows us that what we are in the midst of is a war. Even if the waste-stream media continues to lie about it, and indeed give aid and comfort to those very enemies. As for the rest of us, it's time to keep our eyes open, batten down the hatches, and make sure we're prepared for what is coming. Thanks for joining us today, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.